Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter, commencing with the 11th verse. We find in this verse that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, and as he is going up, he's going through the land of Samaria and Galilee. Jesus going up to Jerusalem, it is for the last time that he's going up to this particular city. In this city, he would be taken prisoner, he would be condemned at a mock trial, and he would suffer and die outside of this city for the sins of his people. And now we find him going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Samaria was bounded on the right side by the Jordan River, on the left side by the sea, the Mediterranean. On the north, it was bounded by Galilee, and on the south by Judea. This Samaria was a place, a country, or a province, which was despised by the Jewish people. These Samaritans, they had a religion all of their own. They were half Jews and half Samaritans. We find them being called many times by the Jews, dogs. This is the name they even called Jesus. When they were filled with anger at him, they called him a Samaritan. Now, as he went through Galilee and through Samaria, he entered into a certain village. Whether this village was in Samaria or Galilee, it is not recorded. The commentary says he was on the border of the two countries. He entered into a certain village, and in this village there were 10 leprous men. These 10 leprous men were living outside of this village. This terrible disease, leprosy, was prohibited by Moses and by the law that anyone that had it had to dwell outside of the city. They were to have their clothes rent, they were to have their head bare, they were to have their upper lip covered, and when anyone approached them, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Under the Old Testament dispensation, this disease, leprosy, was classified as incurable. But in our modern times, we have found drugs that are very useful in helping people that have this disease. Today, it is curable. This, we may say, is through the goodness of God, even in the times in which we live. The lepers are to be found in various countries in the world. Many countries have many cases thereof, especially in Russia, in Korea, in Japan, in China. There are many people afflicted with this dreadful disease. We have this disease even in our own particular country. You find people afflicted in Texas, in Louisiana, in California, and in Florida. It appears to be in the hot climates that people connect and contact this disease. This disease starts with a little red spot, sometimes on the face, sometimes on the hand, somewhere on the body. It may be for months, for years, that a person has this little red spot. But gradually, there will develop in the nose an ulcer. And from this ulcer, this contagious disease starts to spread. It afflicts a person that he finds that he has no pain. He may be burned severely and he does not even know that he has been burned. The tissues under the skin begin to rot and decay. The whole face becomes swollen and becomes lion-like. Now these people that have this disease, they are put in solitary confinement sometimes, and others are taken into hospitals There's a big hospital down in Louisiana, a city called Carville or Careville. There they have a place where they keep these lepers in the United States. They are treated with certain drugs which are very effective, and in the course of 2 or 3 years they are cured of this disease. But we find under the Old Testament time that there was no cure for this disease. They put them outside of the town, and that place where they dwelt, no one came near to them. They had to eat alone, they had to live alone. In this chapter we have 10 of them. This is the only chapter in the Bible that we read that Christ cured 10 lepers. These leprous men, they must have heard something about Jesus, how wonderful he was in curing diseases that were classified as incurable. They probably had heard of others who had been cured of their leprosy. And hearing thereof, they became exercised with their own condition. They began to think and say within, well, if this one and that one was cured, why cannot we be cured? And I'm sure that they longed and desired that they may meet this wonderful person, Jesus. And now we find him turning into this village. Why into this village? Why didn't he go into another village? We see here the sovereignty of God. Jesus knew these 10 lepers. He knew that there was one amongst them that was a chosen vessel of mercy. And therefore we see him turning into this village, especially for these 10 men. And when he came into this village, it was made known unto these 10 lepers that Jesus was in the village. And now these 10 lepers, they were not allowed to come into this village, but they came as close as possible. And when they came to Christ, they stood afar off, Scripture says, and they lifted up their voices and began to cry, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. You see in this, my hearers, that they did not ask in words, Lord, heal us, Lord, cure us, Lord, deliver us from our leprosy. But they called him Jesus. They called him Master, have mercy upon us. Sure. If we have a disease that is incurable and we are cured by the goodness of God, it is a great mercy. But we find in Scripture there was one leper who knew he was a leper, and he came unto Christ and he said unto Christ, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus spake unto him and said, I will, be thou clean. He was made whole in a minute, cured of this dreadful disease. But these men did not cry in these words. They just cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. They called him Jesus, which meant, and which they believed, that he was the Savior, the Lord of heaven and earth, that he was the one that could cure them, could heal them, and could make them well again. They called him Master. This, my hearers, meant that he was the one that they should follow and that they should serve in all their religions and all what they attempted to do. He was then unto them the Savior, the Master. My hearers, is this name Jesus? Is that a wonderful name to you? Oh, it's such a precious name unto those that believe. This name is as anointment that is poured forth. This name is above every name that is here upon earth or in heaven above. It is written, this name is anointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love thee. Oh, what a wonderful name this is to a poor, guilty, wretched sinner. Jesus, Savior, able to save, willing to save, mighty to save. And Master, they called him Master. He had called himself Master. He had said to his disciples at one occasion, ye call me Lord and Master, and ye do well. At another time, he had bent down and he had tied their shoes and washed their feet. And he had said unto them, if I thy Master wash thy feet, do thou likewise. All we see here, my hearers, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, calling himself Master, becoming servant unto all, and yet he is above all. They called him then these two titles, and wonderful titles they are, and they breathe forth a prayer, have mercy upon us. May I ask you, my hearers, do you come to the Lord Jesus Christ like these 10 lepers? These lepers, they represent you and I. Are we not afflicted with a dreadful disease? Is not sin a terrible disease which each and every one of us has? A disease which is incurable by the hand of man, and incurable by any attempts of our own. And all my hearers, those that are convicted of sin, who have tried their utmost to overcome sin, and who have been brought down in the dust to realize that they cannot deliver themselves, that they are lost, ruined, and undone. They are the creatures that come to the Lord Jesus Christ as these lepers. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Is that your prayer? Are you troubled with your sins? Is that your disease? Is that your malady? Have you found out that you can't cure yourself? Are you sighing and crying to Jesus that he would have mercy upon you? Then you are just like these 10 leprous men. And my hearers, when these leprous men cried to Jesus, they did not cry in vain. Oh no. When he saw them, it says, he spake unto them and said, go, show thyself to the priest. And these 10 men, they immediately went, for that was according to the law of Moses. They were to show themselves to the priest. He was the one that could declare them clean or unclean. And now as these men went, we find that they were cleansed, all 10 of them. All virtue went out from the Lord Jesus Christ and cured these 10 men of this terrible and dreadful disease, leprosy. And my hearers, when he saw them, are you a leper sinner? Are you groaning? Are you sighing? Are you crying to the Lord for mercy? He sees you. He knows your trouble. He knows what's going on within you. He saw them, and he sees each and every one that for his mercy cries. Oh, I wish every one of my hearers were crying unto the Lord
to be saved, to be delivered, to be washed, to be cleansed from your sin. What a group of hearers we would have. Oh, how we would long and desire for this precious Jesus to show forth his virtue and his power in our particular case. And now these 10 leprous men, they were completely cured. They were made whole. Now, whether they all noticed it at the same time, Scripture does not say. But they were blessed by Jesus with a perfect cure. And as they were going, they looked themselves over, and they had no more leprosy. And now, my hearers, one of these men was a Samaritan. And this man, when he viewed himself and seen what had taken place with him, oh, he was filled with wonder and amazement, filled with love and gratitude to the hand that had cured him. And he couldn't go any further. Whether he spake to the other 9 or not, Scripture does not say. But he couldn't go on with them. He returned back unto Jesus. And when he came back, he fell upon his face at his feet, and he glorified God with a loud voice, giving unto him thanks. Oh, my hearers, see in this again the sovereignty of God. The 9, they did not return. They probably were elated. They were filled with happiness. They were filled with wonder that they were cured, no doubt. But they continued on and went to the priest to see what he would say about them. And probably after he had examined them and declared them clean, they went into the temple and offered an offering unto God for what he had done to them. But this Samaritan, he returned back to the hand that had healed him, that had cured him, and he glorified him. Or he fell down, filled with love and adoration, filled with gratitude to Jesus for the wonder that he had done unto him. And my hearers, Jesus spake and said, were there not 10 cleansed? And where are the 9? Oh, there were 10, sure. But only one returned. What does this teach us, my hearers? This teaches us the ingratitude of so many human beings who have been blessed in like manner, like these 9 men, and never return to give God the glory. Oh, my hearers, multitudes, millions of people who have been created by God and who live under his bounty and feast upon his table, they never thank him for his goodness and mercy shown to them. Oh, how many, my hearers, are born in a country which is called a Christian country. Born in a family where parents go to church, read the Bible, pray, and bring them up under the true religion. They are educated, they come to manhood or womanhood, they receive positions, they get married, and they never express any gratitude, any thankfulness to their Creator. Oh, why were you and I born in a country like this? Why were we born and brought up under the truth as we have it? And why are we yet to this day blessed by God? Why were we not born in a heathen country, say in Japan, China, Korea, Africa? Why were we not born where error is taught, where we might have been Mohammedans or Turks or had no religion at all? Should we then not be thankful and filled with gratitude to God and return the praise to Him for what we are even to this day? Oh, how many, my hearers, like these 9 lepers, especially those that have been afflicted by the hand of God. There may be some of you in our midst who were afflicted, who received a dreadful disease, and you went to the physician, and he examined you, and he said, there's no other course. You have to be operated. That's the only way, probably, that we could cure this disease. And you consented. Maybe it was you, maybe it was your wife, maybe it was one of your children. And God, in His mercy, He heard your cry. You cried to Him just like these lepers did. You cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Spare her or save her or help me. Bring me through this operation. And the Lord was so good, so kind that He did. He brought you through. And when He did, maybe you did just like these 9. You went up to the temple. You offered an offering unto the Lord. But when He did that for you, it may be that you made many promises, many resolutions. Oh, you said, Lord, if you'll spare me, if you'll carry me through and make me well again, I'll never live like I did before. Oh, I'll sure read the Bible. I'll pray. I'll go to church. I'll live for you, Lord. You know, many people make those promises and resolutions, especially when they are in trials and afflictions. And God is so good, He makes the person well again and follow that person. What does He use His strength, His energy, His intelligence for? Is it for God? Is it to glorify Him? They forget all about the hand that made them well again. We find them going on again in their own practices, in their own sins and iniquities. Oh, how often this takes place. Has it taken place in your life, my hearers? Am I bringing back something that happened years ago? Maybe you had forgotten all about it. Now, while I'm talking to you about it, you say, yes, that's true. Oh, had I but those impressions, had I but those feelings every day of my life. Then and then I had them, but oh, they're all gone. All my promises, all my resolutions, everything that I thought I would do is gone. It's just like the wind which carries everything away. All my hearers, ingratitude is a terrible sin. And every one of us are guilty of it. Not one of us are excluded from this sin. Oh, how few. Return unto the Lord and live a life to His glory, to His honor. All these sickbed conversions, my hearers, they end on the sickbed many times. They don't get any further. It pleases God sometimes to afflict a person. He afflicted this man. He's a type. He afflicted him with leprosy. And now whether this affliction brought him on his knees, brought him to seek the Lord, Scripture does not say. But this man, he's an example that the Lord uses sometimes afflictions to bring sinners to Himself. He did that with this man. We find this man, of the 10, returning to glorify God. Oh, my hearers, You find him at the feet of Christ. You find him crying with a loud voice. I don't know if any of my hearers ever been given to glorify God. You know, the more that we can glorify God, the lower that we get. We can't get low enough. We find this man at the feet of Christ. That's where it brings us, my hearers. It is faith that brings us to Christ. It is faith in this man in particular that gave him to glorify God. It is only by faith that we can glorify him. Without faith, it's impossible to do so. And now this man lying at the feet of Christ, glorifying him, Jesus, he spake unto him and said, are there only found as this stranger to glorify God? All see my hearers again for the sovereignty of God. Just one out of the 10 was given to come back to Christ and to glorify him. The others, they probably were thankful for the cure that they had. It was an outward cure. But this man, he was wrought upon in his heart. His heart was broken and contrite and filled with love and affection to Jesus because he had been made whole again. And now Jesus spake unto him and said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, wonderful words, my hearers, spoken to this Samaritan. For this Samaritan, then, he had true faith, for it was his faith, the faith that God had given unto him, that had brought him to the feet of Jesus, that had given him to glorify him. And Jesus mentioned thy faith, because Jesus had given it unto him. And this man, then, he was commanded to go his way. He was again permitted to mingle with his family and with his companions and live a normal life again. Oh, how thankful was this man. How filled with gratitude was this man to his benefactor. In this man, my hearers, we have a type of every leprous sinner who Christ brings to his . Has he brought you down? Are you longing for a cure? Oh, how wonderful was this cure. No promise made, no words spoken to these men, just a command. Go and show thyself to the priest. And as they went, they were made whole. Oh, my hearers, Christ cures sinners in a like manner, even to this day. Oh, how wonderful it would be if sinners in our midst would be cured of their sins. All true enough, you would be brought to the feet of Christ. You would be brought to glorify him for what he has done to you. Every sinner that is convicted of his sin and fears that he shall be excluded from the presence of God forever and ever, he is the one that shall be sighing and crying unto Christ for mercy. And he, when he experiences deliverance, when he experiences a cure, then he likewise will come to Christ and glorify his benefactor, his healer, his savior, his redeemer. How many of my hearers are leprous sinners seeking this cure, seeking this healing? Oh, how few are convicted of their sins, feel this dreadful disease, and have trouble with this malady. So many live in sin, wallow in sin, go on in sin, and die in sin, and are lost forever. Oh, I pray that not one of my hearers may go on in their sins any longer. Oh, that God in his infinite mercy may send an arrow into your heart, and that you may be given the feel that you are the chiefest, the greatest of sinners. And all that you may be given to cry to him who is able to save, who is willing to save, and mighty to save. There is no case too hard. There is no sinner too far gone. There is no sinner too great for whom Christ cannot cure. Or he takes the hardest cases and he cures them with his word. He speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. We see here, my hearers, in these 10 lepers, how gracious, how merciful, how pitiful Jesus is. They cried for mercy. And what is mercy, my hearers? Mercy is that sympathy, that pity, that compassion that prompts us to help those that are in distress, those that are burdened and are afflicted. This mercy in God is his sympathizing and pitying condescension and compassion to the wretched and to the miserable. And see it in here, these 10 men, they were leprous sinners, and we see the compassion of Christ going out and the mercy of Christ meeting their case, and they were made whole immediately. All may Christ in his infinite mercy have compassion upon every one here. Oh, I would pray, Lord Jesus, look down on these creatures who also are leprous sinners, who are in their own feelings so far from thee, for they feel not even that they are lepers. But oh, may thou make them true lepers and give them to flee to thee, whose mercy alone can deliver them and save them from this leprous condition. My hearers, this man, after he received his cure, he lived a life of gratitude. And we see here then, as our catechism teaches us, that the first thing we must know is how great our sins and misery are. And the second thing, how that we must be delivered from them. And in the third place, that we live a life of gratitude to him who has delivered us. So we see it in this man, this Samaritan. Oh, may we be given likewise to experience it on our own heart and soul. And then likewise, we shall live a life of gratitude to him who came into this world for sinners, who gave himself for such on Calvary, and who even to this day receives sinners, saves them, delivers them, and gives them to glorify him in this life so that they will eternally glorify him in heaven above. That's all for today, my hearers. My time is gone.